You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Thank God for His Word. And I come to you with a heavy heart today. You don't pastor the same crowd of people for 50 years without experiencing every sorrow imaginable. I watch you folks go through sorrows. It hurts me. Brother Martinez and I were taking a ride on our bicycles this week, and he stopped me and said, "You know, Pastor, I taught a Sunday school class 25 years ago, and 10 of my boys signed my Bible. 10 of those boys put in there, 'I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a second man. I'm going to serve God.'" One, they're all our kids. It's Car Crowd kids. They're your kids. They're your sons, your daughters. One has made it. One's raising his family in this church, and the others, they're dope addicts, they're drug addicts, they're drunks. I'm talking about your kids. Come on in it, folks, if you will. The Bible says, "Man that is born of woman is full of day troubles as sparks fly upward." I promise you this. I want you to hear this. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your age is. I promise you, you are going to be shaken to pieces with your life. I promise it. Look what the Bible says in Job 16. Look what the Bible says. And here's a man that he was shaken to pieces. He lost his children, lost his cattle, lost his possessions all in one day. Verse 12, "I was at ease, but he had broken me asunder. He had taken me by my neck," watch this now, "and shaken me to pieces." I want to tell you today, you're going to be shaken in your life. I don't care who you are. Everyone is going to come to one or many days where you're shaken to pieces. I want you to keep your hand right here, because I want to prove one thing to you, then we're going to come back and preach on shaken to pieces today. I don't know what you're going to face, but I promise you this, I'm old enough now. I've pastored this church 50 years. I've been in the ministry 54 years, 55 almost. I tell you, I've seen everything possible. A man back here told me today, an usher, he said, "Pastor, I've had 3 employees die in the last 3 weeks. One committed suicide. They're all in hell. They all rejected Christ." 3 in 1 week. I had so many prayer requests. I was praying with people this morning in this auditorium. Everybody I know is shaken to pieces. You know, when you shake something, it means like it's an earthquake in your heart. It's to reel to and fro. It's to be physically moved. Brother Remus, if you could help me here for a moment, I don't mean to be rude to you, but if you'll stand right here, and here's Brother, I love this man. But when I shake a person to pieces, and I'm going to shake you a little bit, I shake him like, look at his head moving back and forth. I'm shaking him. You are going to, thank you, you're going to be shaken to pieces. I promise you, every single person in this room will be faced with huge trials beyond, and by the way, some are going to live with you for a lifetime. Turn with me, keep your hand right here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, please, 2 Timothy. I want us to read a verse together in 2 Timothy 4. And as we read in 2 Timothy 4, I don't care if you're shaken to pieces or not, and you will be shaken. Every person in this room has a race to run. Everyone has a race to run. And you run it when you have no strength to run it. I'll prove it to you today. Look what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 4. Let's read verse number 7. Ready? Verse 7. Ready to begin. "I have fought.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith."
Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. God said, Paul said, he was in jail, his head's going to fall from his body in a couple of days, he's going to cut his head off. And he said, I fought a good fight, I've finished my course. Can I tell you something? People don't finish. I have baptized over 20,000 people in that baptistry identifying with Jesus. We don't have 20,000 here today. This is a 3,000 seat auditorium. Where are they? Some have committed suicide. Some are permanently in jail the rest of their life. Some have committed murder. Some have left their wives and left their husbands, left their families, rejected them. You talk about being shaken to pieces. It's going to happen tomorrow. It'll happen every day this week. I'll get a call. I'll get somebody to tell me of a sorrow that's in their life. And I'll pray with you. There's nothing I can do to change it. I can't change the situation. You're going to be shaken. I promise you that. But you still have a race to run. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's read verse 24 and 25 and 26 and 27. Ready? Begin. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Now every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
This today because I'm old. I don't know what problems I'm going to face yet in my life, but I have determined I'm too old to stop my race now. I started over here in my 20s and now my age I am and I'm so that's the end line right there. I'm so close now I could almost touch it. And maybe before this day is over, I'll touch the end of my journey. I'm not going to quit on God today. I refuse to quit on God. I refuse to quit on God's people. You need a pastor that finishes his race with joy. My life verse, none of these things, Acts 20, 24, none of these things move me. They said, Paul, you can't go to Jerusalem. Oh, and he goes, I know bonds and afflictions are going to wait me there. But none of these things move me. Neither count out my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. I am going to finish my course. I'm going to finish with the joy of the Lord. I'll have tears. I'll have sorrows. I'll have disappointments. And they come every day. And I know they'll come this week. And they'll come next week if the Lord lets me live. But I'm going to finish my course. I am going to die as a member of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. If the Lord doesn't come, you're going to be around that cemetery where Wally Davis lives, where he's buried. And I'm going to be in that cemetery. And I finished my course with joy. Turn back with me to the book of Job, please. Job chapter number 16. I have a race to run. You have a race to run. In this room, you're going to discover that your mate's going to leave you. That mate that you love so much, that wife is going to leave you, that husband's going to leave you for another person. And you're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to keep running my race. Many in this room have. Your husband walked out, your wife walked out, and now decades and decades and decades you live for God. None of these, but you're shaking to pieces. I know you're shaking to pieces. But you're going to have to finish your race. Mr. Hansen celebrated 24 years this past week. Mr. Hansen was an FBI federal agent, just a tremendous career. Mr. Hansen would get up every single morning, had six kids, every single morning go to mass 5 days a week. He'd come home, pick his kids up. He had the boys in a beautiful school for boys and the girls for the beautiful school for girls in Fairfax, Virginia. Raised them up for God. So he thought, Raise them up to be honest, godly Americans. Dad didn't come home, Mr. Hansen, on one night, 25 years ago now. Because they saw him in the evening news arrested. He had been womanizing with women from Russia, and he had been taking rubles and taking cash and taking money from women for years and years. And the FBI, his own agency, followed him and figured out he was a fraud. He has been sentenced last week, 2 weeks ago. It was 24 years he has spent in jail, and he'll spend the remainder of his life for treasonous activity. He will never see freedom again. Let me tell you something. That wife was just shaken. Shaken. Those six kids were all teenagers and beyond. Shaken. How can my dad do this? And by the way, they'll live with that the rest of their life. You will be shaken. Every one of you children will be shaken. Just mark it down. Nobody take your life. You have a race to run. You have a course to run. We have so many little babies being born in our church. Every week I'm announcing them. I'm seeing them today in our class, and mothers bringing their little babies. They're just so beautiful. Can I tell you something about children? You're going to love the nursery. You're going to love preschool. You're going to love the first part of elementary school. And then about age 3 or grade 3 or 4, they're going to start to test you. And then they're going to do okay, 7th grade. They're going to move in 7th grade, read their Bibles, do everything. And then they're going to start to wane. And then they're going to graduate. And some of your kids will go 1 year to Bible college and become an agnostic. You've spent all that money in Christian school. And that little baby that you love, and you're up at night. We had a family in our church, in our Brazilian ministry, up all night with a little boy that got colic. Mom and dad awake all night long. They're in church. They're staying awake today. But I don't know how they are. They're worn out. All their little children, they just wear them out. They're worn out. But that mom and dad love those kids. They would give their lives for their kids to live. But I'm going to tell you something, child of God. Your son is going to break your heart. Your daughter's going to break your heart. They're going to get married, perhaps, even in this church, and do well, maybe even come on staff or be a minister of the gospel. But somewhere along the line, that son-in-law or that daughter-in-law are going to reject the faith of their dad and mom. You watch it. I'm at the point now in my ministry, I'm looking at the 1,100 graduates from our Bible college. I remember all the great preachers of yesteryear, they're all dead, and they said, you know, I'm just so shocked that our graduates, Jack Kyle said this to me, are turning against one another. Tom Malone said, I'm just shocked how our graduates are turning against. Lee Robertson, Brother Treber, I'm just shocked how our graduates, they don't even want me to come preach at their church anymore because they've changed so much, or they're out of the ministry. Hey, folks, those little kids, and pour your life into, but somewhere along the line, those kids are going to reject, most of them will reject the faith of their mom and dad. I know. I've lived long enough. I read an article several years ago. It said a pastor should stay about 15 years in a church. And then you should move on, because you get to know people, and all of a sudden all their sorrows and all their disappointments, and they become too overwhelming for you when you see kids not turning out for God, and you ought to move to the next church and love those people. I'm not leaving North Valley Baptist Church. I'll tell you that right now. God's people keep me awake often at night. You keep me awake at night. I'm so burdened about your marriage. I'm burdened about your family. I'm burdened about your children. Because some of you are going to be shaken to pieces. What are you going to do when your child says, Dad, I don't believe the Bible anymore. Dad, I don't believe in heaven and hell. Dad, I don't believe that a man should marry a woman. I have tendencies for another man. I'm a woman. I have tendencies for another woman. That's out of control right now. What are you going to do? I know people, I hear it all the time. Pastor, we're going to stay, but there was a moment we were tempted just to run away and leave. Sure you were. And you're going to come back to this church, and you're going to carry that prayer request the rest of your life. God, rescue my son. Rescue my daughter. Had one this morning. Rescue my loved one, that's my child that I gave birth to, that's an alcoholic today. God's word says I'll shake it to pieces. I'm talking to a crowd here today. You men and women that have lived into your 80s. Now in this church, you could, Sister Maria back there, I remember your daughter Maribel, I think she's 59, died this week. I'll have the funeral, I believe, this week. I remember her being in church, and Maria has had one blow after another. One difficulty after another. Mary, one difficult after another. Linda, one difficult. I'm talking about everybody in this room. One sorrow after another, sorrow after another, sorrow. What are you going to do? You better run your race. And you better at least set an example. Maybe there's going to be a grandson or a granddaughter or a great-grandson or a great-granddaughter that says, you know, my great-grandpa lived for God a lifetime. And your grandsons or great-grandkids might be ministers of the gospel. My Bible says I was shaken to pieces. What are you going to do when your health breaks? Brother Martinez, it's almost every week we're finding someone has cancer in our church. What are you going to do? You're 20 years of age, you shouldn't be getting cancer. You're 30 years of age, you should not be getting cancer. I thought so much of the Sarabias this past week and how they were young Christians and just growing in God, and then cancer came to their little girl's life. And they just stayed true. Those had to be hard days, and there's been other difficulties in their life, and they just keep facing them.
Amen.
They're shaken to pieces. I remember that little girl of yours, and she was in our elementary school. All of her hair fell out. By the way, God brought them through that. She's a staff member now, graduate of Golden State College. Brother Lopez, you've been in the ministry a long time already. You know what I'm talking about is true. You've got members that are being shaken to pieces in Bolivia. Shaken. Reeling to and fro. I think of your race. It may be your health. It may be your wife's health. I think of betrayal of friends. That's a hard one. People that you've loved and invested in. And then all of a sudden they're suing you. I am so sick and tired of almost every week hearing somebody else being sued. And you're suing relatives. You're suing people that you love, and suing people that you've had dinners with, and suing people that you watch them grow up. And now it's rampant right now, friends. What are you thinking? You're being shaken to pieces. Thomas Edison, the great inventor, died in 1931. Thomas Edison and his dad were in business, and there was a conflict, and the dad sued his son, Thomas Edison, and won. How do you sue your own son? How do you sue your son? Thomas Edison did not have an easy life. He was deaf in one ear. The other one he could barely hear. And yet he invented the photograph, and they said what he did. He would grit his teeth, and they played volume, and he could figure out the vibrations where things were supposed to be on his phonograph. He had sorrow after sorrow after sorrow, buried his wife, had kids that passed away. You talk about sorrow after sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. But we're here with lights on today from Thomas Edison. He finished his race. I don't know what's ahead of you, child of God. I don't know what you're going to face. I don't know how your tears are going to fall down your face. And you say, I can't sleep at night. I don't know what heartaches and disappointments are ahead. I imagine it's got to be hard when you see a son and daughter or whatever the case may be that you raised for God and now they're drinking liquor and all that stuff. And you think, your first thing is, where'd we go wrong? It's not you, child of God. You loved that child. You gave education to that child. You spent time with that child. You played ball with that child. You were a good example. But every child eventually has to make a decision. And you're not responsible for their decisions. Amen. I've got a race to run. I'm going to run it. I got three boys that are all preachers. And if my boys, they're all good men. But if all three of my boys begin to reject the Bible and reject their dad and reject everything I taught them, I still got my race to run. I'm going to give an account for this race. I'm not giving an account for Brother Tim's race. He's doing such a good job in Arizona. I'm not responsible for Ryan's job task in Newport Beach. I'm not responsible for Brother Chris's task as he preaches the gospel, but I'm responsible for my race. I'm gonna come to church with broken heart, with tears, with sorrow, with disappointment. And by the way, I know the devil is hearing me right now, and I know he'll give me those opportunities because I am not gonna run from the race that God has given to me. I'm gonna finish my race. I know a great preacher. You would know his name. He's preached here many times. He's been dead for probably 25 years now. He got exactly the age I am today. And he was so weary of life, so weary of everything. The doctor said, you need this open heart surgery. He said, for 2 years, I'm not going to do it. And sure enough, 2 years later, it caught up with him. But I think there was such a relief that he was done. His last message was on Wednesday night where he preached on the King James Bible. It's the authority of the Word of God. And he finished his race a few weeks later, was gone. I know a preacher that died in an awful accident. And at 68, I think he was happy that he passed away because everything, he got jailed by the governor of his state for doing right. They later exonerated him. He was just worn out. I get it, child of God. I get it where you're worn out and you're so close to heaven. You say, Lord, just go ahead, take me. But until that time, finish your race. I don't care what your race is. Turn with me to Psalm. I'm out of time. Psalm 88. I want you to see this, please. I was reading in my Bible yesterday. I had my message ready, but I was over here in Psalm 88 just reading my Bible. And it's Psalm 88. Oh, Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear to my cry. My soul is full of troubles, and life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down to the pit. I am a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain, and lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit of darkness and the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with the waves. You made me an abomination. I'm shut up. Mine eye mourneth. I have called daily unto thee. Shall thy loving kindness be declared to the grave, or thy faithfulness to destruction? But unto thee I have cried, O Lord. In the morning my prayer shall not prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thy face from me?
I'm afflicted, ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer the tares, I'm distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. The tares have cut me off. They come around about me daily like water. They compass me together. Lover and friend thou hast put far from me and my acquaintance into darkness. Go back to Job in chapter number 18, please. 19. Job is suffering this calamity of losing his 10 children in one day, losing his cattle, losing his sheep, losing his oxes, his donkeys, his lands, his house, all burned up. Job answers, verse 2, chapter 19, verse, how long will you vex my soul and break me into pieces with words? Verse 6, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out among the wrong, but I'm not heard. He fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side. I'm gone. My hope he hath removed like a tree. Verse 13, he hath put my brethren far from me. My kinfolks have failed me. My familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I'm called my servant and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Yea, young children despise me. I rose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhor me. Here's Job, and God shook him to pieces. And Job said, I don't have a friend left in this world. Maybe that's how you, by the way, you always will have a friend and a pastor. But it may feel like I don't have a friend in this world. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. All our sins and griefs to bear. Let me summarize and I'll close it down. I promise you, you have a race to run. Everybody has a race to run. Nobody can run my race. I've got to run my race. I can't have my wife run my race. I've got to run my race. I can't have Brother Martinez. I've got to run my race. I've got to run it. But the older you get in life, there's nothing but disappointment and sorrow and sadness. And people turn on you. They'll send you awful letters. I've got a letter in my drawer right now, and a man, everything he heard was not true. And he said, I just hope your children suffer and your grandchildren all suffer. That hurt me. I loved that man for 30 years, not a member of this church, but I loved that man for 30 years. I loved his kids. I helped bring up his kids. And then he writes me something like that several years ago. I hope you suffer. I hope your wife suffers. I hope your children suffer. I hope your grandkids suffer. That's part of life. I probably should have thrown it away, but I keep it. But I'm going to finish my race, child of God. Because God gave me a race. But in finishing your race, you're going to be shaken to pieces. I said Thomas Edison earlier. Thomas Edison was trying to figure out how to get this filament working to have a light bulb. They said, and it's documented, he was living on the second floor of a house, and he'd bring the equipment up there and have experiment after experiment. They said, I don't believe this could be true, but they said it's true, that the rubble outside of the window reached the second floor. He threw out that many failed experiments with the light bulb and threw it out. It reached the second floor. But one day, it worked. He had his dad against him. He had his family against him. He worked 16-hour days, 7 days a week. Didn't have a relationship with his kids. Didn't have a relationship with his first wife or second wife. First wife died when he was in his 30s. His second wife died later. He was not really a people person at all. But he said, I am going to give this world the incandescent light. He finished his course. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many in this room, you say, Pastor, today I'm young or I'm old. I don't know what it is, but I'm shaken to pieces. I'm just shaken to pieces. I don't know what to tell. I can't change my daughter's heart. I can't change my son's heart. I can't change my family's heart. Can't change my dad, my mother's heart. I'm shaken. I'm reeling to and fro. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this house, all over this house? Keep them up for a moment. I'm just shaken. You may put them down. Maybe you don't want to raise your hand. You don't have to if you don't feel led. How many have a backslidden adult son or daughter? No one looking, please. I've got a backslidden son or daughter. I'm just so burdened about it. Would you lift your hand all over the house? See, you may put them down. Every hand that went up are good parents. You say, well, we failed. No, you did not fail. You're good people. You're godly people. If you're not saved, you've got to come forward and walk forward and have a man show a man and a lady show a lady how to be born again and have your name in the book of life today. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father, I know all these people are going to be shaken. I know they will. And they're going to have to get up one day and get back on their race and just keep running the race. I know they'll have to. And they won't have maybe a success story. Maybe they have nothing but sorrow, and they'll go to the grave with a broken heart. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you come forward right now, all over the house? Keep coming. As the pianist plays, keep coming.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.